It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Aren't you glad you don't have to do it on your own and not in your own strength? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for Pentecost Sunday. We thank you, God, that all over this world, Lord, people are celebrating the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the precious gift, the best gift we could ever receive, your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've had some lessons on the kingdom of God and the message that Jesus preached. And I just want to remind everybody what it was he preached. From Matthew 4:17, the scripture says, "And from that time forward, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It is accessible.'" In the Greek, the word repent means to change your mind. It means to turn around. And so there was an emphasis and a shift that Jesus wanted to bring in how the people thought the kingdom of heaven should be, or the kingdom of God. That he wanted them to think differently. Sometimes to think differently when you've been taught something for years is difficult. Would anyone agree? Yeah. I read an illustration that I think helps point this out. It's about a pilot that had vertigo. And it goes like this. My division officer in the Navy was also a naval aviator. And on his way home from a mission over Afghanistan, he got vertigo. And he was so dizzy and confused because of his inner ear. And his senses were confused. And the biggest was his sense of flight, which can be deadly when landing an aircraft carrier deck at night in the middle of the Persian Gulf. Or landing on an aircraft carrier deck in the Persian Gulf. He thought his plane was flying upright, but when he looked at the instruments, he was flying upside down. And everything he did was backwards according to the instruments, but in his mind, they were correct. And he could follow what he thought was right, or he could depend on his instruments. And he said overriding what he felt was right was one of the hardest things to do. And the struggle took place in his mind. And his mind was just hammering him that he was doing the wrong thing. And so you can figure out how it ended because he lived to tell the story. But it just shows how what we've learned in the past and how we've done things before can be one of the hardest things to overcome when we feel we're right.
I've experienced that as a pilot.
Have you experienced that?
I'm instrument rated, so when you fly in the clouds, your ear lies to you. You have to read your instrument. You have to believe your instruments.
Wow.
So that really resonates with me.
There's a witness. Hallelujah. And so in our relationship with God, if we really want to find the true meaning of what's right and wrong, we can only find that in the Word of God. And sometimes it just goes totally against what we have been taught. And when we begin to learn new concepts and new principles and God releases fresh revelation, sometimes it's difficult to grasp that because it's not how it always was. But remember, Jesus came to shake some things up and release the kingdom of God and let the people know that it was accessible right now. It's not something in the sweet by and by, but we can have heaven on earth in our lives, in our sphere, in our realm of authority right here and right now. Tell somebody right here and right now. God is a right here and right now God. He's moving right here and right now in our hearts and minds. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. In John 18:36-37, Jesus answered, he was talking to Herod, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." His kingdom is not from here. It's not like a kingdom that you would expect it to be. And this is what the Jews were expecting, Jesus to come to earth and set up his kingdom right then in the natural. And they kept asking him, are you going to set up your kingdom now? They were just totally confused. And so let's go on. Today is the day of Pentecost, and this is the promise of the Holy Spirit coming into the world in Acts 2:16 through 18. And why don't you just read it with me? And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Prophecy is hearing the voice of God and understanding what the Lord wants you to do. When you go up, if you come up for a prophetic words are to encourage, exhort, and draw you closer to Jesus Christ. Often people think of prophetic ministry as being something that's going to cut, hurt, harm. And you know, too many Christian souls have been tore up by Christians and people that said they were prophets. But that is not edification. The Holy Spirit is here to edify and encourage us. And he might highlight something in our life, but it is never to destroy us. It's not to condemn us. It's not to put us into a depression. I'll never get out of this. I'm never going to come up above it. No, God might reveal something in our lives because he is releasing power, kingdom power, to help you overcome that. And the whole thing is changing your way of thinking. Rather than fighting it and being stubborn, anybody ever be stubborn here? Just a few times, maybe. But everything in the Gospels was leading towards the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't make it. We do not have the willpower. I think I talked a little about that last week. We don't have the willpower. We might think we do. But you know, you can have the willpower and you say, okay, I'm not going to eat that candy. And somehow that candy ends up in your mouth. I don't know how it got there. It's like the child that's told to stay out of the cookie jar and their mom catches them with their hand in the jar. And they deny that they're getting a cookie. I was just filling them. Yeah. But Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, he's our helper, he's our comforter, he's our counselor. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this is mentioned in every gospel. Let's go on to John 1:29-31. It says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. So Jesus was before John. Hallelujah. Although Elizabeth was further along with John when Mary and Elizabeth met up, and John had that revelation that Jesus was coming from the heavens to the earth. Powerful. John 1:32-33 says, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was considered the first person who ever received this precious gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus then, in turn, baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And like I said, it's mentioned in every gospel about the baptizing Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. There's actually only one miracle, I think, that's mentioned in all four Gospels. But this theme runs throughout the Scripture, that Jesus is the baptizer. And here are the next slide has, in Mark 1, John 1, John the Baptist proclaimed that Jesus will baptize in the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew and in Luke, the Scripture says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The fire of God. And this is about the middle of Jesus' ministry when this next Scripture took place. I want to just share this with you quickly and give you some historical background so you have an idea of what Jesus was talking about. The promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. John 7:37-39. Let's read it together. On the last day, that great day of the feast of tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, his belly, will flow rivers of living water. But this is he, concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Feast of Booths, and it's also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's a week-long celebration. And Israel, during that time, remembers the intervention of God in the wilderness when they were wandering in the wilderness. And it's described in the book of Exodus. And as a part of the holiday celebrations, the priests would carry water from the pool of Siloam to the altar. And they did that in remembrance of God's provision for them in the wilderness. Do you remember how God provided water for them in the wilderness? And so on the last day of the feast, the great day, when the priests would recite, they would recite, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity." They would recite this while making seven trips around the altar. And this was the backdrop of understanding why Jesus spoke these words at that time. And he said, "If you drink of my water, you're never going to thirst again. If you eat of my food, you're never going to hunger again." And he connected that back to John 6:35, because he was talking about a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. Every human being has a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. Everyone does. And they will seek until they find something to satisfy that. So the incident of water from the rock in the wilderness was like the priest's ritual. And it was only meant to be a symbol. And all of those events happened to point to Jesus Christ. There was a foreshadowing that Jesus was coming. It even shows up in his conversation with the woman at the well in Samaria, the Samaritan woman. Remember, he said, "I have water. If you drink of my water, you will never thirst again." Now, does any of that make sense to the human mind? Absolutely not, because I just had some water and I'm thirsty. You know, so it's just like, what in the world is he talking about? And remember, he said that as he shares things, it's not for everybody. Not everyone's going to understand. We went over the parables of the sower last week. And you know, the first ones had closed minds. They couldn't hear anything Jesus was saying, because it wasn't anything that they had heard before. And sometimes we'll meet people in our lives that have never really heard this before. And maybe you've never really heard it before. But the Lord his seed is still good. The seed is good. The word is good. The teaching is good. It all depends upon the soil of your mind and your heart, whether or not you're able to receive the word. The gospel of the kingdom is the seed that is sown, and seeds have the power on the inside of them to organize reality. And so the word of God has power in it to organize and reshape your reality. That is so powerful when you think how Jesus, our God, spoke the word and everything came into being. It didn't happen because of a big explosion. There may have been big explosions. Doesn't mean there weren't big explosions, right? Because we don't know how all that happened. But I know the angels got real excited. And it says all the sons of God just began to clap their hands and rejoice as they, it might have been just a big fireworks show. You know, have you ever been to fireworks and everybody's so excited and clapping about it? We don't know all of that, but we do know this. When God speaks, things happen. And we know this, that God always has the last say, regardless of how a situation looks. And that just reminds me, Pastor Cheryl had a testimony this morning that she wanted to share. And so I'm just going to have her come up and share the testimony. Hallelujah. You're ready? She's ready.
If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his belly, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. About a month ago, most of you know that Jerome went to the doctor. And he was told that cancer had spread in his body. They had set up a bone scan for May the 21st. But before the bone scan, he was hospitalized because he was cutting grass and had bad stomach pains. Then the stomach pain went to his chest, and we prayed. He didn't tell me that it was in his chest, Duke. I still thought it was in his stomach, Duke. He went to bed a little early, and I kept checking on him. I'm okay. He woke up about 6 o'clock in the morning and said, it's time for us to go to the emergency room because I've had chest pains all night long. Well, why didn't you tell me, honey? I thought the pains would go away by morning, but the pains were still there. So we went to the emergency room. We weren't there long before I did what? I text the elders. I didn't know how much I could pray, but I know that the word was getting out there. They ended up admitting him. Didn't know what was going on. They ran all kinds of tests on him. And I told them about the possibility of cancer, but they were worried about his heart. But God, it was a rough month. Some of you know how rough it was. But I'm so thankful to have a husband that didn't dwell on it. He kept on moving. He kept on wanting to cut his grass, but our grandson wouldn't let him. In the hospital about 5 o'clock, I entered the room and the nurse was in there, and it seemed a little panicky. He had spiked a fever, 102, all of a sudden. One nurse took it. The other nurse said, no, I just saw him. They took it again. So the doctor ordered blood work. He was having blood work drawn from his arms. He has marks to show you. Every 2 hours, because they know where this was coming from. They figured it was an infection, but they needed to get it under control. He had ice packs under his arms. I had to give him a cold bath, and let me tell you, he didn't like that cold bath. So I had to do it on his legs mostly because he jumped, and I was afraid that he was going to fall or have a heart attack over that cold bath. So sometime in the night, the chest pains had stopped, and the fever had left. They did continue to do more tests to see what fever was coming from. They did ultrasounds. They checked his liver. But I know now why they did all of that. I'll tell you in a minute. They wouldn't let him go home the next night. Jerome said, I'm leaving here. This was Thursday night, I believe. I'm leaving here. I'm not staying here Saturday night. He told the doctor, I'm going home. So we always said that Jerome's going to call his daughter Kelly to come pick him up when I won't take him. So my sister says he doesn't want to stay because he wants to go to church the next day. Don't you know that? Well, you know that was true because he came to church without me. Okay, you know, he came to church. Sometimes you just got to push through to go, to get into the house of God, to get among his brothers and sisters who he knew have been praying for him. So let me tell you, we were supposed to go to the doctor. We had the bone scan on Tuesday. We were supposed to go to the doctor the following week, and he would start new medication because the doctor said the cancer had spread it because his PSA levels were high. He had to have cancer. We were trying to see where it had spread it to. We had the bone scan. I looked and read it up, but I couldn't see where they were talking about cancer. They were talking about arthritis, even in his left ankle. And so when we got to the doctor's office, he had this injection for Jerome still. And I said, could you tell me about the bone scan? Oh, it didn't spread. Really? My phone fell on the floor. It didn't spread. But we're going to give him the injection because we know. But it didn't spread. Aren't you going to do an ultrasound? Because I had looked it up. You know, you're supposed to have an ultrasound before you get these medicine stuff. No. Yeah, MRI, all that kind of stuff. No. So we had good news. We had good news. I couldn't, I wanted to, come on, honey, let's go. Do you know what just happened? I called the kids and was telling them. I hadn't told but two kids and a grandson, but I'm so glad because the kids would have been weary. And I wasn't going to tell the kids until the following week. But once he was hospitalized, I had to tell him something. Because they would have been very upset with mother for not telling them something. So I told Jerome, I said, you know, we got to celebrate. He loved when Logan's steakhouse opened up because he loves the bread. And they could continue to bring you bread. And so when we got there, I was still texting the kids to let them know what was happening. And I was sitting down and I just wanted to just get up and sing. I wanted to get up and dance. I wanted to praise the Lord, but I had to sit there. And when I got, I said, Jerome, do you know what just happened? What? We ate. It was good. No, we got good news. No cancer. No cancer. Because of prayer. Because of faith. And I thank each one of you for getting on your knees and on your belly for praying for us. For praying for Jerome. I'm so glad that we have a praying family that loves us. And all we have to do is just text and call one person. And the chain just goes all around and around. So I urge each one of you, any of you has an illness, stand, believe, have faith in the grace of God. Doesn't have to be anything you do. Not our works. Pastor said last week, the grace of God. And the grace of God stepped in. And he took care and he removed that cancer that was probably there. He removed whatever was going on with Jerome's heart. He took care of that infection or whatever was going on. But because of the infection, because the temperature went up to 102, they were so scared, they started running all kinds of tests. So we know that his liver is okay. We know his belly is okay. You know, he had a little bit of gallstones, but you know, that's okay. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. If you have an illness, get on your knees and just continue to believe that God is in control. And that's something that I kept texting. I know that God is in control. Amen. I did. Every time. God is in control. I know it. I'm not saying I didn't walk through stress, because I did. But God was in control of that too. I had to be there for him. I had to be there for my family. I had to be there as a witness that God is in control.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good news, huh? Good news of the kingdom. Thank you, Pastor Cheryl. And we are so thankful for God's touch on Deacon Jerome. We love Deacon Jerome. We were so happy to see him at church that Sunday morning. And then I said Cheryl was so stressed out and tired. She had to stay home. Hallelujah. But God is in control. She needed some rest. God knows what we need. He knows what we need. And we shouldn't feel guilty about what we need. Or condemned about what we need. Thank you, Lord. We got to stay on subject, because we could get going on that. Let's go on to John 14. Before Jesus was crucified, he was talking to his disciples. And this is what he told them, John 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive him, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus was clear. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And his commandments aren't something hard. His commandments are given to us because he loves us. It's like making boundaries for children. Putting up boundaries for your dog. You don't want your children running out in the street. You don't want your dog running out in the street. So you set up some boundaries. And that's what the Lord does with us. He sets up some boundaries for us. And we should be thankful that he's given us commandments on how to live. One comment I often hear is, if God wanted me to receive the Holy Spirit, then he'd just give it to me. Hear that a lot. And that is not scriptural. That's right. Luke 11, 10 through 13 says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Learning to ask. I was just talking with my sister-in-law yesterday. And there is a concept of maturing, that you should be able to state your need and be able to ask what is needed. And often, and children should know that by the time they're five. They should be able to state their need and be able to express what they, how they're feeling and what they're in need of. And so many children don't learn that because mom jumps right in or dad jumps right in and just takes care of everything that they need. Because it's easier, it's quicker, rather than letting the child express themselves. Sometimes it can be pretty frustrating to wait for a child to finally express themselves or get it into their words. They just have these little minds and they're learning all of this. And so you just do it for them. But really, in the long run, you handicap them. And then as they become adults, they expect everyone around them to be able to read their mind and know what they need. And in a married situation, if you have a husband and a wife, if they aren't stating their need or their need is, you disqualify their need, or say it's not important, and just go on, then it causes a lot of strain in a marriage and often a divorce. Because learning how to ask for what is needed and stating it, and then the person that's hearing it has to learn how to accept that and work with that. We were just talking about how troubled people are and how troubled so many relationships are, and all of it goes back to how mature are you? Have you emotionally matured? Have you spiritually matured? Or are you still really an infant in your behavior and in your spiritual walk? And that's a whole other study. But the Lord says, you've got to ask me. You've got to ask me. It's okay to ask. You don't have to feel guilty about asking the Lord. But ask him. You want the Holy Spirit? Ask him. And he will give you the Holy Spirit. And he will intervene. That's what Pastor Cheryl was doing. That's what the elders were doing. We're standing in the gap, intervening on Deacon Jerome's behalf. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. And so the Heavenly Father has sent us a comforter. And in the Greek, that word is paraclete, and it means intercessor, counselor, advisor, or advocate, and comforter. You couldn't ask for a better gift. That is the best gift you could ever receive. And this is what he sent on the day of Pentecost. Because Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not leaving you alone. In John 14:25-26, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When Jesus left this planet, his work was not done. It wasn't done. But he knew the Holy Spirit was coming, and the Holy Spirit was going to teach them, guide them, help them to remember what he had said. So often a question is asked about tongues. Is tongues a part of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And the early Christians, and this is an outline from one of the books that we study on tongues, early Christians received the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Acts 19:6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. B, the gift of tongues is a heavenly language which magnifies God. Acts 10:45-46, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so they were amazed that the Gentiles would get the Holy Spirit, or God would deal with them, because they considered them as dogs. They didn't associate with them. So it's for everyone. And tongues is often an outward sign of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So is it a part of it? Well, you're born again by the Spirit of God when you ask the Lord into your life, when you repent of your sins. He comes into your life. There's no other way you can be born again other than by your Heavenly Father. We're born again from our Heavenly Father. And you know, this is understanding this concept was difficult for me, because I grew up in a Pentecostal church and everybody prayed in tongues. And if you didn't pray in tongues, well, then you were lost and you were going to go to hell. And so you better start praying in tongues, you know. And so then you worried about the kids until they prayed in tongues. All of our kids received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a younger age because we really worked with them. That was, and I'm saying that's wonderful to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and be able to pray in your heavenly language. to be able to pray in an unknown tongue. But my dad loved God. My dad studied the Bible, and he never received the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And so when he died, I was in the fifth grade, and I thought, sure, he had gone to hell because he had never spoken in tongues, even though he was a good man, studied the Bible, and loved God. And that was like torture. Tortured my little mind. I did not know where to put all of that or how to handle that. And it was years later, you know, because I just kept seeking the Lord, this can't be right. God doesn't do that. God's not just going to kick someone to the side because they hadn't spoken tongues. And so I remember I was driving the car one day. Vanessa was with me. She was real little. She's probably 2 years old. We were coming back from work. We worked at, she was always my side partner. We worked at, it was out at Town and Country Shopping Center. It was a pet store, and I'm thinking it was called Mr. Friendly's. And that's where we worked. You know, she's a package deal. I said, she comes with me or I don't come. And so they agreed she could come. But we were driving home, and you know, I had just been seeking God on these things. You know, ask him. Seek him. And I said, Lord, I just can't believe that. And I remember just him speaking so plainly to me. He said, your dad is with me. And that freed me from the fear that I would never see him again. Because it's one of those things I was taught very young. And those things stick in your head. They stick in your head. It's like the pilot, had to follow his instruments. I wrestled with that. And as I studied God's word for myself, I learned God is a loving, gracious Heavenly Father who is always with you and ready to help you, not condemn you and push you away. And it's okay to ask him if you don't understand something. I'm not saying he tells you right away, because I ask about that situation for years and studied and studied. I've been a student of the word since I was very, very young, of the Greek and the Hebrew. And I would study. And it took that divine revelation and just that gentle voice of Jesus to touch my heart and set me free from something that was so condemning. And so I pray for you today. If you have experienced anything like that in your life, recognize that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He poured out his spirit on the Gentiles. He pours it out on whoever is going to ask for it. Nothing in your past could keep you from receiving the best gift in the whole world, the precious Holy Spirit. And when you ask him to baptize you with speaking in tongues, you ask, you will receive. Apostle Leonard and I were talking the other day, and he said, I don't think I've ever prayed with anyone that didn't speak in tongues. And he just has an anointing for that. Every time we've gone on international trips, you know, everybody ends up speaking in tongues. And it's always because we ask. And that's how he leads people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But why are tongues significant? And I'm going to close after this. The kids are all out here. But tongues are significant in the kingdom of God because, do you remember we talked about how God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth? And when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they lost dominion. The Holy Spirit's presence totally left them in the garden. And what happened? They were uncovered. They knew they were naked. They knew that they had done wrong. And so they lost dominion in this world. When Jesus came back, let's go to Genesis 28 is the verse I want. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and every living thing that moves on earth. So Adam was given dominion over the earth by God. He had delegated authority from God. And it was his responsibility to steward that. God gives us delegated authority. We're responsible to steward. When Adam sinned, he lost dominion. Jesus came to take back what was lost and usher into the earth realm the kingdom of God. Right? That was the only message he had. So he wanted to once again establish the king's domain here in the earth. Because that is what God planned. He expanded heaven into the earth, and men and women were going to be the kings that ruled over the earth. So the kingdom of God is not in a distant place, but it is a physical place, but rather it's a present reality. The kingdom of God is a present reality, and it's embodied in the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's embodied in his parables. And it is the transformation power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within believers. And so, why is the Holy Spirit so important and speaking in tongues? Let me get down to the list I have on all kings, all kingdoms have. Aha, you're right there. All kingdoms have a king and a lord who is sovereign over the territory. Now we know that the Lord is sovereign over all. He's the ruler that sits in the heavens, and he owns the whole world and everything in it. And so he is king and he is lord. He is sovereign. Okay? And so it's a territory. We have a territory, a domain that we operate in. And every kingdom has a constitution, and that is the Bible. That is the Word of God. That is what we're supposed to do. And it has a citizenry. All of us are what? Citizens of? Yes, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Our citizenship, the scripture clearly says, is not from this earth realm. And the other thing a kingdom always has is a language. You know if someone's from France. You know if someone's from Mexico. You know if someone is from Germany. And so when Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit and people began to speak in tongues, they began to speak the language of the kingdom of God. And so Bishop teaches on this a lot, that this is what we will speak in heaven when we're praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit language is the language of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And it is a sign. We're citizens of another world. We speak another language. I got tickled when Ricky was talking about wearing his mask and praying in tongues. I thought, you know, that's what I did. If you remember, I used to say, oh, I love wearing these masks. I'm like praying in tongues everywhere I go. People don't know what I'm doing. They don't know what I'm saying. But I'm just praying in the Spirit. Speaking the language of the heavens, which is a powerful language. The prayer is a perfect prayer. The Holy Spirit cannot pray anything else except for the perfect will of God. So when we don't know what to pray, we begin to pray in the Spirit. And that's why this is such a valuable gift from the Lord God Almighty. And in Revelation 1, 4 through 6, and this is my last scripture, greetings to the seven churches. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In a kingdom, there is one king, one sovereign. And under that king are kings. And Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are to recognize how God made us and who we really are. It was God's design for us to be kings and priests in the earth. It is up to us to have the Lord renew our mind, the Word renew our mind, that we walk in what God has called us to be and do what God has called us to be, because he has called us to be kings and to have authority and to have dominion. Anywhere we go, church, we take dominion. Anywhere you go, you take the kingdom of God with you. And recognize and being aware and having your eyes open to what is going on, not just in the natural realm, but in the spirit realm. What is working here? What angels are here to help bring to pass what needs to happen? Do you think angels were assigned to Deacon Jerome and were in his room and like orchestrating everything that was supposed to go on? Absolutely, because he's a kingdom man and God takes care of us. You know, so many times people are looking for the evil. They're looking for the demons. Well, there are always demons and there is always evil. But those that are with us are much greater than those that are with them. You know, you got to open your eyes and see the angels and the fiery chariots and everything that God is doing to bring to pass your best good. Because you are not only his child, but you are kings and priests in the earth. Hallelujah. Okay, I do have one more verse. Colossians 1, 13 through 14, because this wraps it all up. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. There was a time that we were in that dominion of darkness. Everyone was born in it. We were born there, but he rescued us. He translated us. He brought us out of that and brought us in the kingdom of the Son he loves. He brought us into the light. The kingdom of light is referred to. He brought us into the kingdom of God, in whom we have redemption through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And I'm going to end right there. So receiving your heavenly language, it's important. If you want it, you can have it. So let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your word says that if we ask, we receive. If we seek, we find. And when we knock, Lord, you open it unto us. And that if anyone asks their heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit, you give it to him. On this day of Pentecost, Lord, I thank you, Father, that if there's anyone in this room that has never prayed in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, Father, Lord God, that you stir in their hearts to ask and they receive in Jesus' name. Amen. So after worship, we're going to have worship. We're going to have offering. We will be over that direction. If anyone here has never prayed in the Spirit and you would like to, we will be over there to help lead you through that. And so at this time, someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You really are a quiet group this morning. Have you noticed that? Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter. It's where two or three are gathered. It doesn't matter the size of the group. What matters is the size of our God. Woo! And what he's doing in our lives. I'm telling you, just coming out to hear Cheryl's testimony was worth it all. Thank you, Lord. Encourage you? Did it encourage you? And she really pinpointed Duke. I don't know what you did, Duke. He's just sitting over there looking innocent. Okay, let's get our offerings ready. We bring our tithes and our offerings this morning to the Lord in worship and love because we love him. And we want to give into the kingdom. We're so excited about what the ministry that God is doing at the ministry center. We're just so excited to get started on classes and get groups going and all that God wants us to do in this season. And so let's just bow our head. Let's lift our offerings to the Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've purposed in the hearts of your people, Lord, to give to you. And Lord, it's for your glory. It's for your honor. It's out of worship and love, Lord. I just thank you, Father, that you ask for 10% and then anything else above that. Lord, we just thank you for adding to them, Lord, and increasing them, Lord, as they give out of their portion, Lord. You see it, Lord, and we thank you, Father, that you bless the work of their hands, that you bless their homes, Lord, that you bless their coming and their going, Lord, that you are the Lord God Almighty. And Father, those that are in financial need this morning, God, I thank you for meeting that need today and giving them comfort in their hearts, Lord, that you are right there watching over them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen.